You're listening to The Big Show with Patrick Dumas on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Welcome to Big Show Hour 4, live from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio. Cracked foundation, blowing foundation walls. We have a simple permanent solution to stabilize your foundation. Contact Basement Systems. They're all things basement. You visit dlbasementsystems.com. It is a Calgary Flames game day. It's a late one. 8:30 puck drop out in San Jose for the Flames and the Sharks. Our pregame will start at 7:30 with your Flames talk pregame. But right now, only four Canadian teams are going to end up going to the postseason in 11 days' time. And we go down to the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. We are going to be joined by Ryan Dixon, senior writer over at Sportsnet. How you doing, Ryan? Thank you so much for taking some time and talking some hockey with me.
Yeah, anytime, Patrick.
We'll start here with the Flames. They're kind of just playing out the stretch here, final few games. They're in San Jose, kind of a not-so-great matchup-wise. Two teams not going to the postseason, but obviously teams probably want to be bettering their lottery odds. But what are your takeaways here with this Flames group as we enter the final 2 weeks here?
Yeah, it's obviously pretty tough at this point, right? Yeah. I mean, I think one win in nine or so. But you know what? You're looking at, I guess, on the high end, a 30-goal season from Blake Coleman would be pretty remarkable. And he's one away. He's been obviously one of the best stories. And the other is Mackenzie Weegar, who's one goal away from a 20-goal season from the blue line. And those are two huge positive, huge, big year for Weegar in year two there. And, you know, Coleman, the way he established himself this year as, really a top line guy, at least goals wise, pretty impressive stuff. Sharon Govich obviously just got his 30th and Kuzmenko's been putting up points lately. So, you're keeping an eye on those guys as the new guys who come in and, trying to evaluate because, oh, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, they're both UFAs in 2025, which is all of a sudden not that far away, right? So, this summer, you're probably sitting down with those guys and trying to sketch something out. And certainly you would think in the case of Sharon Govich, there's at least going to be, some kind of discussion about what an extension might look like because you don't ideally want to go into next fall with them having all of a sudden the leverage of if they have another great year and want to test the market, it's getting closer and closer. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how they wrap. And obviously Wolf, right? I mean, and those numbers aren't great and the team certainly not, you're not going to pin a lot on the goaltending at this point. It's been a long year in Calgary. And to be fair, they kind of did hang in there until about a dozen games ago. But, this is a guy who figures to play a very big role as soon as next fall. And you would hope for the next decade in the crease. So this is his first extended stretch of NHL reps. What do you see from this guy? How comfortable can he get with his NHL surroundings? Can he adapt? How much more can he adapt even getting, a couple more starts to bring him up to 15, 16 appearances this year? So he goes into the summer with a stronger idea of what it takes to be an NHL stopper.
Right, exactly. And one more here on the Flames train here. Who do you think would need Macklin Celebrini more, the Flames or the Sharks?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, honestly, probably Calgary because I don't know where the top line talent, you look at the sort of soft rebuild they've done and there's, again, Sharon Govich has looked good. Kuzmenko's getting points, but it's very hard to look at Calgary right now, both in the prospect pipeline and on the NHL roster and wrap your arms around something and say, this is why I think we could be a really good team 2 years from now. If you draft Max Celebrini first overall, that conversation changes because now you've got a guy who you are penciling in as, if not starting next year. I mean, he's obviously going to play on the team, but he's a guy who by his second year in the NHL is going to be a serious difference maker and is probably going to be a very good NHL player even in his first. But you've got a pillar now, right? Now it's and at a key position. Now it's a matter of filling out around. And hey, if Wolf winds up being the goalie people think he can be, and there's really no reason to not believe that yet, you're looking at a situation where you're saying, well, we've got a guy who we think could be a, 2 years from now could be a great starting goalie, and 2 years from now could be an absolute legit stud number one. You can work with that. San Jose is funny. Like it would be a great story, and I do think in some ways of the teams near the bottom, you can make a case the Sharks deserve to get the lottery luck because they've never drafted first overall. Obviously, he's got the local ties, having, you know, grown up, not grown up, but spent formative years in the Bay Area and playing minor hockey there. San Jose was just such a model of consistency for so long. I mean, this is, you know, any chance I'm sure Calgarians get to kick sand in the Oilers' face, you take it. And, you know, this isn't an Oilers situation from 12 years ago where it's like, give me a break. These guys are going to draft first overall again. You know, why are they constantly rewarded for their incompetence? This is a team that made the playoffs for basically 20 years, just never got over the top and had such great players. So I do think from that perspective, you could make a case they deserve it. And not that long ago, I would have said San Jose probably needs it more. And obviously they need it. Yeah. I mean, look at where they are. That said, they've got Will Smith, who they drafted fourth overall. They took Quentin Musty in the 20s, I'm going to say, early 20s last year. And he looks like, you know, he's had a really good year goal scoring wise in the OHL. He's going to be a player.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've already got a little more going on if they wind up drafting one of these great defensemen, second or third overall, or Demidov, you know, I think that's probably better for them. Whereas Calgary is just, it's just a bare cupboard in terms of
top,
you know, who's going to be the guy.
Yeah, like top prospects. Exactly. That's what Calgary's missing, is they don't have that star guy. I know the odds will be stacked again. I mean, obviously San Jose will have the best, but I just think, you know, Calgary, one of three teams never to pick in the top three, or sorry, one of two teams not to pick in the top three, and I think, what better way to restart this rebuild up with a bona fide, you know, number one center in Macklin Celebrini? Let's move on to the Canadian teams that are going to be participating in the NHL's postseason. We'll start in Toronto with the Maple Leafs. They held on. They got the win in overtime. They do strike a little bit of a blow to the Penguins in their hunt for the postseason. It's a nice solid win for the Leafs. But what is Sheldon Keefe thinking with this group right now? He'll obviously get Marner back, but this is a team that they added Bertuzzi, they added Domi. This is a team that's supposed to be tougher to play against when it matters come postseason. Doesn't matter what they do in the regular season. How do you think Keefe's evaluating his group as we're, you know, just 11 days out?
This is where I think you land on the Leafs. We all know they're a flawed team on the back end. There's just no two ways about it. I mean, that defense core relative to the other teams that are competing for the Cup, it's just, you know, it's fair to question, just, is it ever going to be enough when you have to stack up against a great team every other night for six or seven games, especially what, you know, it looks like that great team's going to be the Florida Panthers, who we know are a serious in-your-face team, who obviously had luck against or, you know, good result against Toronto last year in a five-game series win. I think, you know, there's just so much baggage that comes with the Leafs because of the history and how, you know, just what a big entity they are. And I kind of feel like if follow me on this thought experiment, but if you just strip the names away from the teams and looked at a like 5-year period, or just sort of look like what teams have been up to and, you know, what's in their mix, I kind of feel like you'd look at the Leafs and go, is it just this team's turn? Because as we know, as Florida demonstrated last year, you know, it's very rarely the team that kills it in the regular season that goes all the way. We saw the Boston Bruins get 135 points, go out in the first round. We saw Tampa Bay get basically that many a few years ago, get swept in the first round. It is the teams that, you know, just consistently stay in the mix, and eventually you hope to get your number pulled. And I just think this year you've got a guy who could go into the playoffs and get, I don't know, 17 goals in 23 playoff games or something.
Quite possibly.
Like, that's just where Matthews is, right? Like, he's just on another planet right now. And you look at that with the support of, you know, Marner and Nylander, who are two absolutely fantastic support players in their own way. And even in a down year, you know, could the story of John Tavares' year be middling regular season, but, you know, best playoff? All I'm saying is, I'm not saying you should rush out to bet your nickel on the Leafs, but in a sense, for a team that's become easy to write off because they've had playoff shortcomings year after year, don't forget there's a lot there. And the other thing is they're really getting saves right now. Mm-hmm. And I actually have, like, if it was just Samsonov, I'd say, we'll see. But Wall's been good too. And he was obviously injured for a long time, but by and large, he's shown that he could be a steady guy. And I just think between the two of them, look, they're not a perfect team, but I don't know that, like, you know, the Penguins team that won without Chris Letang was a perfect team, yeah, or that the Washington Capitals, which has become, you know, the go-to comparison, because the 2018 Caps, he'd written that team off 3 years before that. That's as fair. A cup contender, and they did it. So what I'm saying is all the teams that – all the fans who would delight in another Leafs face plant, it's easy to look at the recent history and say, ah, well, they'll find a way to screw it up. But you just got to be careful to gloss over mm-hmm. just how many serious players there are there. And again, you know, Matthews is just having a year for the ages. Samsonov is playing fantastic. Can you make it work with Morgan Rielly playing until his legs fall off and everyone just giving you enough on the back end? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it's too, like, maybe the odds that they could beat Florida and Boston to get out from the division, maybe that D will crumble under pressure, but I don't know. I would feel, you know, as I guess I would feel better than you might think if I was a fan of the Leafs, you know, given that it's been nothing but horrors for 8 years once the playoffs hit.
Edmonton, McDavid and Draisaitl, we've seen them. They've taken them to the Western Conference Final. That is as far as they got before they got blitzed by Colorado. What about their makeup this season says it's going to be different than the prior three seasons? Because with this team, it's cup final or bust.
I mean, obviously you start with Hyman just going to another level, right? Yeah. I mean, you've got a guy on McDavid's side who's gone over 50 goals and, I mean, that's just, he might be the third best forward on the team, but mm-hmm. it still feels wrong to call a guy who's got 52 goals a support player. So, right. You know, like, do you think there's a little more depth throughout that forward group? You know, this is where, like, obviously Edmonton and Toronto are largely in the same mold, right?
Oh, yeah.
They just got players that are on an absolute other level. It's just, can you fill in underneath enough? And I would say I like Toronto's goaltending a little more than Edmonton's. That said, obviously, since the start of the, you know, after taking away the first 20 games where it was a nightmare in Edmonton, you know, Skinner and Pickard have been much better. So, I mean, if I'm an Oilers fan, I'm, you know, you are banking on the, you know, Fogel's looked great this year. You know, Corey Perry, it is, it's shocking how effective that guy can be skating like a beer leaguer. But when he's got the puck on his stick, he's as good as you could hope for in the offensive zone. No panic, can't get it off him, finds an open guy. You know, you sprinkle him on the bottom six. It's a little different look than they've had. So we'll see. I mean, you know, they've got a few guys. Like, this is obviously Ekholm was there last year, but this is his first full year. I think he's looked really good. So there's also no, I mean, there's, it's tough because it's a gauntlet in the West, obviously. I mean, mm-hmm. it's tough to get through either side, but you know, it's obviously a bit of a nightmare scenario for the Oilers to think of potentially seeing Vegas in the first round, just as it's getting healthy. But by the same token, there's, you know, as good as Dallas has looked and as good as Colorado can look, I don't look at a team in the West and think, oh man, the Oilers have no chance at beating that team. It's just going to be a case of, you know, you're going to need McDavid to be as special as he is. You're going to need Draisaitl to be as special as he is. Can you get those chip-in games from Fogel, from Perry, you know? We'll see. But that's probably what I'm believing can make a little bit of a difference this year if I'm an Oilers fan.
We're chatting with Ryan Dixon, senior writer over at Sportsnet. In Winnipeg, this feels like a team that on any given day can beat anybody in this league, but also on any given day can lose to anybody in this league. What's your read on this Jets team, as you know, they've won three straight now after losing six in a row, as they're chased down Colorado in that 2-3 matchup? That's going to be a battle, and whoever gets home ice might be the one that has the advantage.
Winnipeg is kind of the opposite of the two teams we just talked about. You know, Edmonton, Toronto, unbelievable high-end talent, yep. You know, melt your face skill, but flawed. That's not to say the Jets aren't flawed, but you know, they've obviously at their best been a very sturdy team, and they can obviously feel fantastic about their goaltending. And No, it's tough. They've been basically a 500 team for 2 months now, so mm-hmm. it's difficult to say they're trending in the right direction. But look how well their deadline acquisitions have worked out in Monahan and Toffoli. You know, is there just enough skill on this team to grind out enough goals and win playoff-style hockey? Yeah, I think there could be. I mean, you're not thrilled about seeing Colorado in the first round. No two ways about it. But you could tell me that Winnipeg's going to beat Colorado in a seven-game series because, you know, Connor Hellebuck is just going to far outstrip anything the Avs get in goal, and that's going to be enough for them to nudge them out. You know, it's they don't have a McKinnon. Mm-hmm. They don't have a Rantanen, but they do have a Hellebuck, and they do have now two pretty solid top lines, and, you know, you throw in a third line with Adam Lowry on it, and you're looking at a team that does feel like it plays a style that could play well in the postseason. So not for nothing too, but they're not coasting in. I mean, yeah, they were never in danger of falling all the way out of the playoffs, but mm-hmm. they've already had to have a look in the face and look in the mirror, kind of slap themselves in the yeah. face a little bit here and say, time to wake up. We lost six in a row. You know, we got to get going here. And they won three in a row now. I have tightened up a little bit, but you know, Winnipeg knows what its identity is. Everyone knows what Rick Bowness is trying to get out of this squad. And they are a team you can see going into Colorado and, you know, winning game one on 46 saves from Hellebuck and an overtime goal from Tyler Toffoli. And all of a sudden you're going, okay, they got their one on the road and, yeah. and the series is set up from there. So just because they've been a 500 team for so long, I'm certainly not writing off the Jets' chances because they do play a style that I think could serve them well when the games inevitably tighten up yeah. here in the second season.
And in Vancouver, they pull out a big win last night against Vegas Golden Knights. They haven't been playing all that great. Thatcher Demko still, he's probably going to get some action in before the postseason. But kind of like Vancouver has the high-end talent. They maybe not have the crazy depth on the blue line and throughout their lineup. But what do we make of the Vancouver Canucks? People were calling for them to fall off, you know, after Christmas. They'll come back down to earth. Well, they never did. They're fighting there for a Pacific Division title. What about this Vancouver Canucks team tells you that it's going to be maybe different for them this spring?
Well, I mean, I think you nailed it. You've got to get Demko back and at least, you know, get him a couple reps before the playoffs start because, you know, Casey DeSmith did his best to keep them afloat and has done, you know, yeoman's work having to step up. But, you know, there was a limit on how many wins they were going to rack up when Demko was out on the sideline. So, yeah, I mean, I do think that will be a huge key for them. Are they going to mm-hmm. get him back? Are they going to get him back at his best? If they do, I mean, certainly you have to like their chances in a first-round series. And you're right. It's, again, we're talking about a team with serious, serious high-end talent. You know, you see someone like Connor Garland having a big game recently. Mm-hmm. Can you get those support players to kick in a little bit to help fill in after the Pettersons and the Millers? It's going to be tough. I mean, you're right. We expected them to fall, and they are still very much in line to win the Pacific, and they got a head-to-head with Edmonton on Saturday night that basically, if they win that game, it's hard to imagine they won't win the Pacific Division. And, you know, you don't want to think this way if you're a Canucks fan, but my goodness, even if they did wind up losing a tight seven-game series in the first round to save Vegas, you've got to feel pretty good about the way this year went. And you've got the Pettersson extension and, you know, what happens with Roenick, we'll see. But, like, that guy's had an unbelievable year. Quinn Hughes just keeps finding another level. Like, you know, the strange thing with the Canucks when they were struggling in previous years was you could still look at them and see these pillars, and to bring it back to the Flames, you know, that's what we don't see on Calgary right now is that, you know, the Pettersson, where you go, there's our top line center, the Hughes, where you go, there's our stud blue liner. Like, when you have those things, you can start to figure out building around the margins. And we'll see if those guys, you know, JT Miller's still going strong here to finish out the year. Like, this all reinforces the conversation. I'm not trying to take the middle of the road on all these teams. The reality is, how many teams are a straight cross-off that are going to make the playoffs? Okay, in the East, the two whoever makes the second wild card and the the third place team in the Metro, okay, cross them off. But if I told you any one of the other six are going to win the East, if I told you Tampa was going to win the East out of the wild card spot, you would be like, oh, you're out of your mind. Like, you know, you look at the West and Dallas, Colorado, obviously you could see those teams winning. Edmonton, could you see Vancouver winning two rounds? Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, would I bet my nickel on Nashville to win two? Maybe not, but they were one of the best teams in the league for 2 months, and they got a fantastic goalie and an out-of-this-world defenseman in Yossi and also probably play a good playoff style. So, like, when it comes right down to it, 16 teams are going to make the playoffs, and there's only going to be two or three in the first round that you'll look at and go, my goodness, I'd be shocked if they win a round, you know? And if you win one, you could win two. So all of these teams, the four Canadian teams, in different ways, and sometimes in similar ways, there's a path for them to at least get in the mix, to at least get to the final four, you know? So we'll see how it shakes out. But I don't think there's anyone, whether you're Jets, Canucks, Leafs, or Oilers fan, who should be sitting there going, oh, my God, what are our, you know, realistically, what are our chances here? You know, I think there's a path for all of them to have a bit of a run.
Yeah, and I don't have the in front of me, but it might be one of the first times where all the Canadian teams that make the playoffs all finish with over 100 points. So that's pretty cool.
Sure.
That's pretty cool as well. I think there's 8 or 9 teams that could potentially win the Stanley Cup. Ryan, thank you so much for taking some time chatting some of the Canadian teams heading to the postseason. What you got working over at Sportsnet.ca?
Last power rankings of the year coming up on Thursday, and then a lot of playoff preview stuff next week.
Sweet. Well, we'll maybe check in here ahead of the postseason. I'll check in with you. And either way, we'll talk soon. Thank you so much.
Sounds good. Thank you.